Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, I'm back with another podcast. This is going to be the start of a series that I'm going to do. I'm going to do these either weekly or bi-weekly, depending on stuff I have going on. But I've got a couple series set up of some interesting topics that I don't know if I would necessarily say teach, but inform people on, and stuff that isn't talked about. I know that's the purpose of the CBC Unspoken podcast, is talk about stuff that's not talked about a lot. But I want to start doing these mini series of different things. So hopefully it'll be a little more engaging, so we can have more content to listen to. And the purpose of this is to learn and grow closer to God. So this has been laid on my heart to have these separate series, and it'll just be mainly me talking for these. We'll still have the other podcasts as for, you know, bigger topics that are open for discussion, stuff like that. But these series that I'm about to start, they're more of like a study to hopefully grow closer to God together. They've helped me. I've put a lot of preparation into this, so I hope everybody else can see it as a benefit. So like I said, there's going to be several series. This is going to be the first series, and I guess the title of this series is going to be Apologia, with a focus on Islam. So everybody knows of all the stuff going on in the world today, all the wars and all the issues, you know, between Palestine and Israel. But one thing I've noticed is, even in America, you're seeing a huge growth of Muslims and people who worship Allah. People converting from Christianity. We'll talk about that more here in a second, but a lot of converts in America are turning to Islam and seeing it as their truth, and a lot of people aren't seeing the truth. So we're going to talk about a little bit about what Muslims believe, what followers of Islam believe, and then we'll talk about, too, witnessing to those people, comparing and contrasting Christianity with Islam. And this is going to be quite a big series. Like I said, a lot of studying has went into this, and I'm hopefully prepared enough to be able to give you enough information so that we can, so that you can actually get something out of this. The first episode within this series is Apologia, Christianity versus Islam. So for this first episode, I want to talk about what apologia means. I'm not sure if any of you have heard of the phrase apologetics. Apologetics is the intellectual defense of the truth of Christianity. Hold on, let me turn myself down. I feel like I'm a little loud. So apologetics is the intellectual defense of the truth of Christianity. Now, some people, if you've heard of apologetics, some people don't like apologetics very much because many times when they're talked about in an open or public forum, it can be divisive or argumentative. But I think it's really important to I think it's really important to be strong in your faith and to understand what you know, to have an intellectual conversation about Christianity with other people who think on a deeper side. I know I feel like a lot of people that I've met, and even sometimes older Christians, they're not in depth enough, but I want to be in depth. I think you need to be in depth in the Bible and understand deeper things, not necessarily just a surface level. I mean, we talk about, you got the Bible verse where Paul talks about being on the meat and advancing off the milk. So as Christians, we need to be that way. We need to advance. We need to have an intellectual defense of our beliefs so that we can reach other people. If you're wondering why I chose apologia, and this is like on our statement on the podcast website, we mentioned 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 15 through 16, and in verse 15 it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So the word answer right there in the Greek is apologia. That's where apologia comes from. So when you have the word apologetics, the root is being able to have that answer for other people. So before you turn me off if you're against apologetics or whatever, I want you to have an understanding of what apologetics are. And like I said, we need to have that answer for other people. Obviously, when you're witnessing to different people, people have a lot of different life experiences. So the purpose of this topic right here, this subject, is reaching those people who are Muslims, who are followers of Islam. So we have to be able to have that answer and to be able to, combat people that come against us for following what we do. I've seen many videos of Muslims mocking Christians because they have no idea of what they believe. Some contradictions that they would say we have, a studied and versed Christian would be able to answer those and be able to turn that back, not necessarily throw it in their face, but to be able to provide an adequate answer to a misunderstanding of Christianity. So that's the purpose of this, is it's not to be argumentative or divisive, but it's more or less to be able to strengthen your faith so that you can defend your faith if somebody was to approach you about it, to give that answer. Okay, so this first series with apologia, we're going to be focused on reaching and providing answers to Muslims. So you may ask, why would we focus on Islam? Islam, according to Pew Research, is the fastest growing religion in the world. Pew Research in a study suggested if the religion rate continues as it has since 2010, it is estimated that by 2050, the percentage of Christians and the percentage of Muslims in the world population will be close to equal. And that would be about 30% of the population. So 30% of the world population would be Christian, and 30% of the world population would be Muslim. So 60% of the world population is estimated by 2050 to be either Christian or Muslim, with those being split. So followers of Islam, they're growing and growing and growing and growing at a much higher rate than Christians. And we can see in our country as well that there's a large number of people converting to Islam. I've seen, just like on social media and stuff, how a bunch of influencers are turning to Islam and stuff like that. I really feel like there's a longing in America for structure, because in this study, a lot of American converts were African American. And if you remember, me and John talking about, I believe it was in the first episode, about how, you know, the African American community has been harmed by there not being a nuclear household, there not being a father present. And so a lot of people are searching for that structure. And sadly, a lot of churches today, you can go back to listen to our State of Churches podcast. A lot of churches today have become, you know, easygoing, too progressive. We talked about that a little bit the other day. And so there's a lot more structure right now in the American church. There's a lot more structure in Islam than there is in the typical American church right now. So I really feel like a lot of people are searching for that structure, and they're finding it in Islam because Christians aren't doing a very good job of portraying, you know, what God wants us to do. You know, He wants us, you know, Jesus says, if you love me, follow my commandments, right? So there is structure, but a lot of people are throwing that structure out the window as far as Christians go. So these people who are looking for something are finding that with Islam. However, that's not the truth. Based on a study in 2017 by Pew Research, the majority of converts, close to 77% of converts in America to Islam, were originally affiliated with Christianity. So there are a large number of Christians in America that are converting to Islam as well. So there's such a big growth in Islam compared to Christianity that it's important to understand what they believe to be able to reach those people. So there's going to be a lot, there's going to be a much bigger harvest based on these growth rates. And so we need to be able to reach those people who are turning to Islam to convert them back to Christianity, to show them about Jesus Christ and show them the real truth of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So that leads us into a little bit about what Islam believes. So those verses right there talk about if anybody comes to you preaching another Christ, another Jesus, another gospel, than what was taught in, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John specifically, if anybody is preaching anything other than that, they're to be accursed. And we'll see here in a little bit, that's going to be, you know, the spirit of the Antichrist. Anybody that preach or that talks about something that portrays Jesus as something other than what he is, that's going to be an Antichrist. Let's see. Let me look up something real quick. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties. We'll come back to that later. So, So in Islam, you're going to find that Jesus is highly esteemed, and we'll talk about that again here in just a bit, here in just a little bit. In Islam, they teach a specific type of Jesus, and that's different than what is in the than what is in the Bible, what is in the Gospels. So this is this shows that Islam, or the Prophet Muhammad, who's started Islam, this shows that they're preaching another gospel, that they're not following the true gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But before I get into that, I want to talk about kind of like a general overview of Christianity and Islam. So many people do not recognize or haven't seen, especially here in the South, and just me talking to people, many people don't understand that Islam and Christianity are not complete opposites. There's many similarities between the two religions. We sometimes Satan is portrayed as an angel of light. That doesn't mean he is light. So there's he is, you know, that doesn't mean he is an angel of light, but he's portrayed as that to reach people. So so there are similarities between the two, but there are critical differences. So first I want to talk about some of the similarities between the two religions. So in both Christianity and Islam, there's a moral code. In Islam, that's Sharia law. In both religions, Jesus is highly esteemed. Obviously, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. I hope and pray for each person on here that he's your Savior. But Jesus is the sacrifice for sins and ours. It's a little different in Islam. They don't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. That's one difference. We'll talk about that here in a second. But another similarity is that both religions are Abrahamic religions, meaning they're believed to have started at Abraham. Again, we're going to talk about these things a little bit more in the following podcast, but I just want to do an overview. Both are monotheistic religions, although in Christianity we believe in the Trinity. Both are monotheistic religions, meaning that we worship one God. In both religions, the God that they worship is an all-powerful God. Both religions originate in the Middle East, and both religions believe in an afterlife or heaven. And like I said, these are some of the similarities between the two. So by understanding this, it's easy to see why many Muslims believe that they worship the same God as Christians do. There's a lot of similarities between them. Like I said, they're both Abrahamic religions. They both talk about Noah, and they talk about Moses, and they talk about Abraham. It's easy to see how Muslims would think that they serve the same God as us, because we also, we learn about Noah, and we hold them esteemed. We hold Moses up high in our religion because he's a pillar of the faith. You know, he led the people out of Israel. Out of Egypt. He actually never saw Israel, but that's something else. So there's a lot of similarities between the two. Another thing I want to bring up too is Allah, which means God. Allah is just a translation of God. Just like we have, the different translations of God, from Greek to Hebrew, to Aramaic, Allah is just the Arabic translation for God. So a lot of people think Allah is some mystical being. No, Allah is just a word for God, the only God. That's one thing I want to clear up. It's equivalent to, so to speak, to Elohim or Yahweh or, Jehovah. So it's just a translation. So don't get caught up on Allah. Though we don't worship the God of Muslims, they're essentially just using the same word that we are for their God. Hopefully that makes sense. And essentially, Muslims believe that they worship the same God that Christians worship. And then there's just a difference of name due to the language differences between Hebrew and Arabic. So those are some of the similarities. Here are three of the crucial differences between Christianity and Islam. The first one would be Jesus is God and claims to be God. Muslims do not believe that. We're going to talk about that in the next episode. But Muslims completely ignore sometimes the scriptures that are in the Bible, or they act ignorant to those verses. So I want to give you a lot of verses where Jesus proclaims to be God and proves that he's God. So that's going to be, I'll probably have to break up the next episode into a couple, because there's quite a bit there, because I'm going to talk about how Islam believes Jesus was versus how Christians believe Jesus was, who the true Jesus was of the New Testament. So major differences in Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the crux of Christianity. If you didn't have Jesus, you didn't have Christ, you wouldn't have Christianity. So that's a huge difference between Islam and Christianity. The second one is going to be belief in the Holy Trinity. They do not believe in the Holy Trinity. They believe a singular God, which is similar to us, but we believe that God is in three persons. I'm going to talk about the Holy Trinity throughout this series. And then I'm also going to talk about the crucial differences between the Bible and the Quran. So some big differences between Christianity and Islam, but a lot of people don't recognize that they're actually very similar in different ways. So in this first episode, I'll just give you a little bit about the origins of Islam and a little bit about the origins of Christianity. So just to kind of have a background of how Islam started and how it got to where it is today. Let's see. Islam originated around 600 AD when the Quran was revealed to Muhammad at the age of 40. So for those people who don't know, the Quran is the holy book of the Muslims. So that would be, I guess, the equivalent of the New Testament, the Old Testament to us. And you'll also see too, sorry, I'm jumping around, but later you'll see how the Quran references the Bible, references the Torah and stuff like that. So they also build on this Quran, which is known as the final revelation of God to man through Muhammad. So they believe that the Quran was revealed to Muhammad at the age of 40, around 600 AD. This is close to 600 years after Christ's death. So that's kind of how it originated. Muhammad is not believed to be a god. but simply just a prophet. So, though Muslims, revere Jesus Christ and they revere Muhammad and stuff, they don't worship them as gods, like we worship Jesus as God because he is. In Islam, they don't recognize them. They just see them as messengers or prophets. So Muhammad's not believed to be a god, but simply just a prophet. Surah 33, verse 40. So just to give a little background as we start this series, Surah just means chapter. So when I say Surah, it just means chapter 33. So not to be confused with anything else, it just means chapter. So Surah 33, verse 40 of the Quran. It says, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. And Allah has perfect knowledge of all things. So when it says seal of the prophets right there, that's kind of talking about, like I mentioned earlier, is the final revelation. So Muhammad is considered the last prophet. It's the seal of the prophets, the last one that's that happens before Jesus comes back. And yes, they believe Jesus comes back, by the way. We'll talk about that more later. They believe Muhammad is just the last prophet. And in the Quran, it refers to Muhammad a lot as messenger of Allah, or the messenger. So when we keep reading through these and stuff like that, that's what it'll come back to. But it's believed that he received the last revelation of Allah through the angel Gabriel. Surah 2, verse 97 says, "Say, O prophet, whoever is an enemy of Gabriel should know that he revealed this Quran to your heart by Allah's will, confirming what came before it, a guide and good news for the believers." This is believed in Islam that Muhammad found this, or not found this revelation, but Gabriel came to Muhammad and gave this revelation to Muhammad. So this is what the Quran is this revelation from the angel Gabriel to Muhammad. So that's what the Quran is. Over a period of 23 years, Muhammad compiled the Holy Book, or the Quran, to be interpreted as the Word of God, or Word of Allah. Muslims believe that Muhammad is the last prophet from Abraham, and there were many prophets that they turned to, also that were from the Bible, which is what we talked about earlier. Surah 2, verse 136 says, "Say, O believers, we believe in Allah and what has been revealed to us, and what was revealed to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and his descendants, and what was given to Moses, Jesus, and other prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them, and to Allah we all submit." Okay, so another verse that's talking about how they don't view any of these people as God. They're just prophets, and we submit to Allah. But I just wanted to show you that verse to show that, they recognize Abraham and the other prophets. And then another thing I want to bring up too, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in the Quran and Bible episode. It's clear to see that Islam came several centuries later, and this will give you something to think about. It's clear to see that Islam came several centuries later than the eyewitnesses of the writers of the New Testament. So one thing I want you to think about is, what is more reliable, this revelation that Muhammad supposedly got from the angel Gabriel about Jesus, about the things of the Bible, or the actual accounts of the people from the Bible, you know, the actual accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even Paul, from his experience. So is the Quran a more reliable book than the Bible? We'll talk about that more. So just be thinking about that. So the eyewitnesses, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're more reliable than a person who was born several centuries later, had something revealed to them through a vision of the angel Gabriel. So that gives you just a little bit, the beginnings of Islam. I'll briefly mention the history of Christianity, since I believe everybody listening has probably heard these stories before. But Christianity technically didn't exist until about 2,000 years ago, and I say that because the phrase Christ. In Christianity, Christ wasn't around until, until year zero, about. That's where we get our date from, is Jesus's birth. So Christianity didn't exist, though Christ has always existed since the beginning. We know in John 1, where it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. We'll study about that a little bit more in our next episode, or when we talk about Jesus a little bit more. So though Jesus was around, he wasn't born in the flesh. I shouldn't say he didn't exist, because he did exist, but he wasn't in the flesh. He wasn't revealed in the flesh until he was. It was prophesied to Mary and Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. The establishment of churches for Christianity obviously were established to worship a risen Savior, to worship Christ. So that obviously came after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we didn't really have churches. I mean, we still had, they had synagogues and stuff like that for the Jews and stuff like that, but Christianity was not originated. Though we talk about God's chosen people in the Old Testament and stuff like that, followers of Christ, is a continuation of that, but what we know of Christianity today was established after Jesus was died and rose again. So churches in Christianity are established based on Jesus's teachings and the way he lived. Since he was the example of which we must live, and he was also the sacrifice by which we are saved. The churches that we have are based on Jesus and worshiping God. The Catholic Church is thought to be the original church and was established in the early first century with Peter as its leader. However, there are now many branches of the church that follow Jesus. We might talk on another episode or another series later about Catholicism. So that would be another fun topic to discuss. But for the sake of this series, we're just going to talk about Christianity versus Islam. The belief in Christ was not unfounded, meaning, there's multiple, and we'll talk about this in our next episode again. Sorry, I know I keep saying in the next episode, but this is just an overview. the belief in Christ was not unfounded. There was multiple Old Testament prophecies which Jesus spoke about and proved that he was the Messiah that was talked about in the Old Testament. Because of the Old Testament, we can rely on Jesus' mission, his message, and the deliverance he provides for us. So, like I said, there will be another series that that's one of my other topics that I'm going to have for another series of the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. But this one, we're just focusing on Islam. And like I said, I'm just giving a little bit of a background of Christianity and Islam. With that being said, that's pretty much it. I'm looking forward to this series. Hopefully it turns out well. I've put a lot of study into this, so I really want to get the point across that I'm trying to be able to help each other understand Islam and Muslims so that we can try to reach them. I know we have Teresa Weaver, who is a missionary to the Muslims, and she briefly talked about how they think Jesus is somebody else. He's just a prophet. And she's reached many people over there in Albania. I believe that's where she said she was. Hopefully this will give us a good idea of how to reach others about Christ and bring other Muslims and followers of Islam to Christ. Because, like I mentioned earlier, it's growing at a very fast rate. So you're going to have a situation where you're talking to a Muslim, if you haven't already. It's going to be coming soon. So just like I said, I want this to be a learning thing for everybody. I've learned a lot in preparing this. Please stick around. We're going to talk about Jesus in the next episode. And these are going to be smaller episodes. I say that, and I went 37 minutes, but that's fine. Hopefully you've learned something in this episode, and hopefully you come back to listen to another episode where you'll be learning again. Thank you all for listening. But Jesus.